Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh. Better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Telles from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
This very same public official, Robert Telles, is the one that conducted his own investigation, his own independent investigation, to try and bring Metro attention to this corruption. We're now to believe that this gentleman is actually soliciting kickbacks from a Metro detective. In response to McMahon's statement, Detective Jappy files an application for a PIN register and a trap and trace, real-time precision location of Mr. Telles' cell phone. Now, this is important, and see, this is the crossover and why it's important for you to understand the factual backdrop of all the facts in this case. Mr. Telles is actually subject to this PIN register, this trap and trace device, during the time that this murder is allegedly committed by him. See, what happens is in today's modern reality, everything oftentimes boils down to the cell phones. I mean, every second that we have the cell phones with us, there's messages being sent, there's signals being sent 1,000 times a second to nearby cell towers, ultimately through satellites. I mean, our position and our whereabouts is tracked all the time. So Detective Jappy submits this warrant because we have a privacy right in our phones. He submits a warrant to a judge and gets an order authorizing Mr. Telles to, in essence, be tracked. Now, this PIN register does not capture the content of communications. It doesn't capture the information that's sent via text or otherwise, but it collects what they call the metadata. It gets your location, sometimes within feet. Oftentimes, it's in relation to a cell phone tower, but it's more specific than that. You get the data concerning who's calling, who's sending, and who's receiving communication. Again, there's a Fourth Amendment text, but we don't get into the content of the conversations, but it lets us know, it lets law enforcement know who Mr. Telles is communicating with, where he's at, in essence, what he's doing in relation to the people that he's in communication with as a result of cell phone. This is the warrant produced and obtained by Detective Jappy based upon that former, but she was at the time when these solicitations supposedly occurred, was a Metro detective. On the same day, and this is August 17th, Detective Jappy initiates surveillance of Mr. Telles. We have a surveillance log, August 17th, 2022. So in truth, we have this full pivot that occurs, which is apparently based on these allegations made by Ms. McMahon at the insistence of the old guard. Interesting is during this August 17, 2022 surveillance, got Mr. Telles taking care of his family. I mean, he's been went away, been an official. He's lost elections. Going back, focusing on McCord, focusing on his family. The surveillance that's being conducted by Metro Intelligence. I mean, they've got him going to Home Depot, picking up food at Chipotle. He's with family. He's home. Nothing more. On September 2nd, tragic murder of Jeff Gehrman occurs. But it's important for you to know that this murder occurs with trap and trace active on Robert Tellis's cell phone. Detective Jappe and Metro captures no cell site location data which would implicate Robert Tellis in the murder of Jeff Gehrman. We do know that at some point in that day, there were signals being received and sent, but cell phone does Robert Tellis there. He's not at home the entire day. Around noon, evidence will be presented to you that he's at GM. This is after he supposedly admits this murder. Another thing needs to be pointed out is the red or maroon Yukon, the Denali from the surveillance video, is never positively identified. Obviously, the state's going to call upon make references, but a DMV search produced 67 possible hits for the vehicle, matching that description. And what's important to note, it's Metro who should be objectively and even-handedly obtaining information, searching for evidence, never follows up on the vehicle. From the get-go, they're concerned with Robert Tellis, Robert Tellis alone. This is the email confirming, and this is Metro email, showing the 67 red Denali that basically match the description of the one that you watched the video. We all watched together just a moment ago. Ms. Weckley did an apt job of laying out crimes, and you will see many photos. Crimes. There's blood. I mean, this was a stabbing. There's blood in the bushes. There's blood on the ground. There's blood over all over Jeff Gehrman's head on the side of his house. The state has shown you and will show you many more pictures of the DNA that's laying down under Jeff Gehrman's nails. What's very important, and we'd ask you to take into account all this, or the lack of the evidence in this case, is that no blood whatsoever is found on Mr. Tellis. If the struggle had occurred, reasonable had in fact been Tellis, that there would have been exchange of blood. And there will be a great deal of testimony concerning DNA. Inferences will be made, and inferences will be drawn, and inferences will be attacked concerning the significance of the state's findings. Shoes that you were shown photos of that were recovered at Mr. Tellis' residence, no blood whatsoever on them. The bag that's found in his garage or in the room, storage room, no blood whatsoever found on that bag. The hat that they claim they found cut up, again, no connection, no tie whatsoever to Jeff Gehrman. There is no rational explanation as to why the hat and shoes had to be set. It'll be easier to seal and plant. Why else would they cut up? Why else they be in that strange condition? What's important, again, is there's nothing in the articles that were found in Mr. Tellis' house to Jeff. A witness provided a statement to police that the killer was spotted in the same outfit days before the murder, acting suspiciously. That was never followed up on. Somebody similarly dressed, similarly clothed, no follow-up. Because from the get-go, Robert Tellis was target's investigation. What's also important is the cell site location does not place him near that part where the individual matching this description previously was found. I'd also submit to you a significant meandering. That was the state's words, the meandering. Before this attack occurred, there's going to be a claim and an argument made that Mr. Tellis was researching this location, or they believe it was him. Why the meandering was the washing of the vehicle. This is where his warrants were based. Mr. Tellis was again subject to surveillance after the date of Jeremy's. He's surveilled by Metro Intelligence washing review. At that point in time, and again, maybe there's been another, but at that point in time, Metro felt destroying evidence. He was cleaning up. Reason would make it a reasonable argument, or reason would obviously dictate that persons involved in this stab gets into there's obvious blood. Wouldn't there be blood on the vehicle? Wouldn't there be blood on brakes, floor mats, somewhere inside the vehicle? Well, none was ever found. And in fact, this surveillance, and previous to this hearing, issues were made during this attempt to seal evidence. Well, there was no evidence to dispose of. And the surveillance and washing the outside of these three vehicles, and this is on September 6th. This is 4 days later. There's no evidence whatsoever and no videos, no filming of trying to seal any evidence in reference to the subject vehicle or the other two. I would submit to you that the facts would show and common sense would dictate that if you were trying to seal crime, you wouldn't wash all three vehicles. And obviously, you would be concerned with the inside. Now, on this September 6th surveillance, it makes reference to a prior surveillance of Mr. Tellis on September 1st. Again, of no import. Again, no evidence inside that vehicle tying Mr. Tellis any crimes whatsoever. Now, is Mr. Tellis in addition to who killed Mr. Gehrman? But I would submit to you the facts will show in the reasonable inferences that you are to take from the evidence is that there would be DNA evidence inside that on any clothing from Mr. Tellis. Now, a picture was shown of Tellis. It'll be our course this case that was somehow caused by this murder that occurred. There's no blood left to see Gehrman murdered. Not on the bushes, not on the rock, not on Mr. Gehrman. Mr. Tellis explains that, touches how we got that worst trial. What's of concern, and the reason that we've given you this backdrop to give you all the evidence, is somewhat strange behavior on behalf of Mr. Jappe. Now, he's Metro Intelligence. Metro is the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, is divided up into various details. You know, each department has their own responsibilities, their own special training. They work as teams. It's an effective way to investigation. The primary detective in this case, Detective Gaddis, and they work as a team. Primary. They work together, and they work. You've got the robbery detail that investigates robbery. You've got the financial crimes that investigates financial crimes. You've got Metro Intelligence generally investigates allegations and facts concerning corruption. But in this case, you've got Detective Jappe asserting himself as murderer. Tellis. fact, there's an email wherein Jappy implicates Tellis to Gaddis. So early on, we've got Detective Jappy, obviously previously was directed by this old guard, now pointing the finger at Mr. Tellis to the lead detective in this homicide investigation. During a traffic stop, this is significant of Mr. Tellis. See, Metro has a policy that you're to have body count, right? All civilian interactions should be captured because we want to know what truth is. We want to have an objective record of what occurs. This initial contact, Mr. Tellis occurs on the 7th, and after he's charged and this case begins, repeated requests are made for this body cam. In fact, our judge, I was not on the case at that time, but our judge makes an order on July 18, 2023, turn that over. To learn that over a month after that order is made, that evidence destroyed. Detective Jappy is also present at the arrest and jumps into the ambulance and rides with Mr. Tellis. Now, it's anticipated the state is going to argue to you that this suicide somehow consciousness, apparently he just couldn't live with himself for a murder that they illegally committed. I would submit to you in the facts, the reasonable inferences to be drawn from these facts is at this point in time, Mr. Tellis's life is coming apart. They've been in contact. They came into contact two times on September 7th. First time they come, they speak to him. They say, we have warrants. He cooperates. They strip him of his clothes. They put him in a white paper suit. They've swabbed his mouth. Obviously, they're investigating. They're coming down. I would submit to you that a reasonable inference is that there's an attempt by Mr. Tellis to kill himself, not as a, oh my gosh, I feel guilty. They say I did, but he lost an election, giving him an opportunity to go back to his family. But now he was getting pressed, charged for a murder of which he's made. There's three surreptitious recordings that occur by the homicide. And what's interesting and disturbing to note is Detective Jappy inserts himself into this interview, this surreptitious recording. Talk about another investigation. So again, we have Detective Jappy inserting himself into homicide investigation. I would submit to you a reasonable inference would be that trying to dictate the direction homicide investigations take. We would submit to you that reasonable minds may disagree or could agree that losing a job is not a motive. Their inference was made in these tweets. And it's kind of curious now, the age that we live in. I mean, we have president's lies. We have tweets from Mr. Tellis, an elected official, concerning the articles. Wife hears rustling in the trash. Her, honey, is there a wild animal in the trash? Me, no dear, look like Jeff Gehrman going through our trash for his fourth story on me. Smiley face. Oh shoot, I left a pizza box and sushi containers in the trash. In the next article, I'm going to have mobbing. He's making fun of us. And then you can see the date, June 18th, June 25th. Again, he's not particularly happy about these articles, but he's reaching out. I mean, he's lost his election. Typical bully, can't take a pound of criticism after sleeping 100 pounds of BS. Up to Article 4 now. I think he'd have better things to do. He's addressing these articles in the appropriate way in public. That's what elected officials, regardless of their high-level, low-level officials, they address as he did previously. He addresses, as you saw, the presentation, the digital presentation, after he learned of the articles. He's addressing his constituents. That's what an elected official posts. That's a reasonable response. Criticism, which comes from God. Again, these articles are not motive for a murder. And we all know, killing a journalist not kill story. Killing Jeff Gehrman does not kill the investigation or the story concerning how one would think reporting is heavy on that. One would imagine what it would be for murder. Obviously, if one's concerned about negative reporting, one doesn't want to commit a murder, but obviously reporting would be far more severe. Mr. Tellis was a lawyer prior to this, and he was on his way back becoming a lawyer. However, we do have a predatory corporation, millions of dollars as a result of his whistleblowing, which he engaged in even after he voted out. He was communicating with Jack. He wanted to right these wrongs as he exited the office. There were others that had far more motive, make it look like he was killing his Jeff Gehrman was good, or he would alt it to what she was and what was really going on in that office. Third party. Killing an investigative journalist, there's no more follow-up information in the $1 million when the old guard is now back in place. Gehrman's gone now. I mean, Jeff Gehrman did a good job of digging and finding. We've all heard about him. We all know him. We all respect him. He would take on tough opponents. Dangerous. Jeff Gehrman was no stranger to me upset. He made a lot of far more able people, far more violent people upset with him. He often had people right. In fact, there was proof found on his device. He was known for the boldness of his inquiries, taking on corrupt, violent targets through the course of his investigative journalism. It came with job and fortune alone.
Stop lying, people. Whoever the guy was wrote that article the other day. You need to fire his ass. Stop lying, people. We're coming for your ass. We are watching you, motherfucker. You better fire that son of a bitch. I'm coming down there tomorrow, motherfucker.
Jeff Gehrman received this threat shortly, months before his murder.
You guys just did some propaganda shit out about fucking just reviving you fucking piece of this shit. You left from fucking faggot, fucking socialist, fucking dead motherfuckers. You guys will pay in the end, motherfuckers. You fucking cheated and lied. You guys fucking lied and cheated. And then you went out there fucking only buying all your fucking box of shit, motherfuckers. Fuck you, you piece of shit, you motherfuckers. You made the Republican. public fight again, and you guys are fucking dead motherfuckers someday, motherfuckers.
The defense, and again, that's why we had our founding fathers had this wisdom. The defense, any of them did this. We're not saying they did. We don't know. But there's a bigger picture. We don't know what investigative steps at all were taken to follow up on these two threats. We know of close and high two general murders. They say this is the Illuminati fringe disregarded, but nonetheless, when you have objective fact finding, you have people that are truly in search of the truth, you should investigate all that. Keeping the burden where it should stay. Close of this case, they're going to ask you to turn a verdict.
This time we'll break for lunch during this recess. You're admonished not to discuss or communicate with anyone, including your fellow jurors in any way regarding the case, where someone is by voice, phone, mail, text, internet, or the means of communication, or social media. Read, watch, or listen to any news or media accounts or commentary about the case. Do any research, consult dictionaries, the internet, or reference materials. Do any investigation, test a theory, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own or form or express any opinion regarding the case till it's finally submitted to you, and will be recessed till 1:30.
Thank you. All rise for action, Dirk. Dirk, please leave your notebook. Everybody standing for guys going down. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Please remain seated and come to order. Court is now back in session.
Does the state stipulate to the presence of the panel?
Yes,
sir. And the defense? Okay, you may call your first witness.
State calls Holly Bailey. Is that me? Holly Bailey. Holly Bailey. Holly Bailey. Yeah. Straight ahead towards the back wall. Please watch your step. Please remain standing, raise your right hand, face the clerk.
You do solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You may be seated. Please state and spell your first and last name for the record.
Holly Bailey, HollyBailey.
Have a seat. Thank you very much. Ma'am, if you could, tell me where you live.
Northwest area, Bronze Circle.
On Bronze Circle. Who do you live there with?
My husband and our daughter.
Okay. And do you know someone, or do you know someone by the name of Jeff Gehrman?
Yes.
How did you know Jeff?
He's just been our neighbor for 27 years.
Okay. Where did Jeff live in relation to your house?
Directly across the street.
What's the kind of shape of the street? Is it just a straightaway, or?
Small cul-de-sac, like 11 homes.
Okay. I want to turn your attention to September 2nd of 2022.
Was that Friday?
I believe so. On that day, does something kind of catch your attention with respect to Jeff?
Yes.
Okay. Or actually, September 2nd. So what do you notice?
Well, he never leaves his garage door open, and I noticed it was open and his car was in there. And it was, you know, I was running errands that morning, and then when I came home a little while later, around noon, I think it was open and it's never open.
Okay.
Never.
Now, at this time, I'm going to show opposing counsel what Marty is. Approach the witness. Let the record reflect. I'm showing the witness. Ma'am, take a look at that. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize what you're looking at there?
Yes.
Is that, what is that?
That's his home.
Okay. Is that roughly kind of from a perspective coming facing from your home, kind of looking over in that direction?
Directly across the street.
Okay. At this time, we're going to ask permission to admit stage for pose two.
No objection.
May I have permission to publish?
Thank you so much.
Publishing stage two. So you mentioned that on that morning, you noticed that his garage.
It was closer to noon because I was running errands that morning. I drop off at school and then I had errands and I was home around noon or a little before that.
And you mentioned you've lived next to this guy for how long?
Across the street, 27 years, almost 30.
And does he keep kind of a regular routine?
Yes.
And so this really stuck out to you?
Yes, because I'm in and out of the house all day long, so I'm familiar with it's not that big of a street, not too many. But I was his because, you know.
Okay, so it's up around noon. Do you do anything in relation to Jeff to let him know about the garage?
No, but I was busy, and okay. I had that feeling of angst, like something was wrong.
Okay, so a little more time goes goes by.
Right.
Do you see that house a little bit later in the day?
All day, up until I left to leave at 2:30.
So at 2:30, is the garage still up?
Yes.
Do you decide to do anything at that point?
I did it when I came home.
Okay, when did you come home?
It was around anywhere between 3:30 and 4.
Okay, so now...
And so I started, I believe it was texting or I was texting him.
You're texting him. Is the car in the garage? Is Jeff's car in the garage?
Yes.
All right. So now you're texting around 3, 3:30, something like that. Do you get any response back?
No.
So what do you do at that point?
So I'm really busy. So I just continued on. I spoke with my neighbor. She told me, you know, it's strange. I said, I know I already called him or texted him. I can't remember what it was.
And do you remember which neighbor it was?
Her name is Debbie.
Okay. So you're now asking Debbie too. How long has Debbie lived in the neighborhood with you guys?
I'm not sure, but maybe a little bit longer.
Okay. Yeah. So you're noticing it. Debbie's noticing it. It's 3:30.
It's basically her and I because I'm super observant and I'm self. And she is too, but she works from home, so she's busy herself. But I'm in and out all day long.
Evening comes. Any change with that garage door?
No. We were going to go. We spoke about it, my husband and I. He said if it's still open when it gets dark, we'll just go over there and close it.
Is that what you do that night?
Yes.
Who does that?
My husband and I walk over there and I pulled the cord.
All right. So you pull the cord, you bring it down.
And he pulled the garage door down.
All right. So the garage door is pulled down. You do anything to alert Jeff to let him know what you did for him?
It was either directly before or directly after. I think it was directly before I sent him an email. It was either an email or a text. And I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I think it was before. I said, this is what we're going to do. I haven't heard from you, so I'm assuming maybe we think you left town and you don't have your phone or something. I said, but your garage door is up and I hope you're not mad, but we're going to go over there and close your garage door for you.
Do you hear anything from him by the end of the night?
No.
Following morning, what happened?
My husband woke me up early.
Okay. What happened then?
And he asked me if I called 311.
Okay. To do what? Why did you want to call 311 at that point?
For a well check.
Do you do it at that point?
I said, let me email him one more time. And then he said, well, I'll go check the backyard. I said, why don't you go check the backyard? He said, that's a good idea.
Is there a way from the cul-de-sac, if you're approaching Jeff's house, is there a way to kind of check that backyard?
To the left, as I'm looking at it.
So when we're looking in this picture, there are some individuals or some men standing to the left of that house. Is that the general area that you're talking about when you get to the backyard?
I believe so. I've never walked back in his backyard.
Okay.
That direction.
But that's what you were thinking your husband was going to go.
Right. And he said, that's a good idea. And that's what he did. And
then what happened then?
And then she came running in the house sobbing and screaming. And I said, what's going on? You know, what happened? And I ran out there to my husband and he was on the phone with 911 and he was in shock. And I went into shock and he was having a hard time.
Your husband was?
Getting to 911 operator to understand him.
What happened after? Does your husband eventually get on the phone with 911?
He just kept saying, we know he's dead. What he didn't say, we know he's dead. I heard him being very, to a point of arguing because, you know, just get the police over here. And she wanted to know, well, is he breathing? Is what, you know, questions about how do you know he's dead? And he said, what is taking so long? Or something to that effect. Why can't you just get the police over here? I know he's dead.
And you could see your husband was upset.
Very upset because, you know, he has a bit of an accent and nobody can ever understand him on the phone. Plus it's above 115 degrees. It was a super hot day. Very hot.
Did you go over to that side of the house?
Yes, I went up to my husband and I saw him.
Okay, and when you say him, who are you talking
Jeff.
About? After that, do the police or medical personnel eventually arrive?
Yes, but one policeman's walking up the block and I just felt like it was, I was in shock, but it just seemed like everything was in slow motion because he was walking very slowly and I kind of said, would you please hurry up?
Okay.
And he says, do you have a medical emergency? I said, no, it's not a medical emergency. He said, you can see.
Okay. And you directed him over to Jeff?
And then I saw a fire truck at the end of the cul-de-sac, but they wouldn't come up.
Okay.
Nobody came up the block.
Did you remain outside and kind of watch as...
Yes, I was praying over him, talking to him.
And so it was you there kind of just praying for Jeff?
I was, because I just didn't seem... It was just very not natural.
Okay. And you didn't...
And it just couldn't understand... I mean, didn't look like a natural death. I could tell you that right now.
As time goes on, do more emergency personnel and police arrive to the scene?
Of course.
Okay. And do you stay out there generally and kind of watch what's happening?
Yes, I just stayed, you know, I just didn't... I stayed across the street. My side gate would look directly on him.
Okay, so you
watched... But through a semi-sheer bush, you know.
Okay. And so you watched him kind of set up, you know, crime scene tape or this, that, and the other.
Correct.
And stayed out. Court's indulgent. Thank you. I have no further questions.
I have no questions for this witness.
Thank you very much for your testimony here today. You may step down. You are excused from your subpoena. You may call your next witness.
Next witness, Your Honor, is Roy Bailey.
Thank you, Honor. Yep.
You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Do.
You may be seated. Please state and spell your first and last name for the record.
Roy, R-O-W, Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y.
May I proceed, Your Honor? Good afternoon, sir. In September of 2022, what street were you living on?
Bronze Circle.
Bronze Circle, is that yes?
Yes.
Okay, and how long have you lived in that neighborhood?
I'd say 40 years.
40 years? Did you have a neighbor by the name of Jeff Gehrman?
Oh, yes.
Where did he live in relation to your house?
Directly across the street.
Okay. Sir, I'm going to put on the overhead what's been admitted as States 2. Can you see that on your screen in front of you?
Yes.
Do you recognize that residence?
Yes, I do.
Whose house is that?
That is Jeff's house.
Okay. And you said you've been in the neighborhood about 40 years. Do you have an estimate of how long he lived there?
Yes, 26 years.
26 years?
Mm-hmm.
Over the years or decades there, did you kind of get familiar with when he would come and go from his house?
Oh, yeah.
How would you describe his daily routine?
Excuse me. He would, in the mornings, I was working outside my house, and Jeff would come out around 8 o'clock or something, and I assumed he went and got his coffee or whatever and came back, and a lot of times, you know, he would acknowledge me, I acknowledge him.
So he had kind of a routine of going to get coffee mm-hmm. in the morning?
Yeah,
and then often. You'd see him when he'd come back?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
On the 2nd of September of 2022, did you notice something strange at his house?
At his house?
Yeah, or how his house looked, I guess.
This was on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed the garage door was open.
Could you tell whether or not his car was there?
No, okay. No, I couldn't see that low.
Okay. Was it unusual for him to have his garage door open?
Yes. He would come and go, but always closed.
Because you saw that, did you take note of it throughout the day?
Yes.
Did you have any discussions with your wife about the garage door?
Yes.
And do you ever walk over there on the 2nd?
Not early because of the heat.
Okay. How about later in the day?
Yes, I did go over there.
And when you went over there, did you go by yourself that evening, I guess it would be, or with anyone?
No, with my wife.
You went over with your wife?
Yes.
At that time when you went over, do you remember if his car was there or not?
Yes, it was there.
It was there. Did that strike you as unusual?
No.
Okay. Did you and your wife do anything to the house when you went over that evening?
Close the door.
Were you aware of whether or not your wife had attempted to contact Jeff during the day?
Yes, throughout the day.
And to your knowledge, was contact ever made?
No.
I want to talk to you about the next day, the 3rd of September.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go over to Jeff's house that day?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember about what time you went over?
Around 9:15 in the morning.
Okay. And I assume you just walked over yourself?
Well, my granddaughter behind.
Okay, so she kind of was following behind you?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Is that, yeah? When you, looking at this picture, did you go, like, I know the garage door would have been shut, but did you go to his front door or where did you walk?
I went to his front door.
And is that for the kind of the...
To the right,
yeah,
correct.
Where the trees are?
Yes.
Okay, and did you knock on the door?
I knocked and rang the doorbell.
And any response?
No.
Okay, what happened after you did that?
After I did that, I thought about going around, you know, I was going to go around the back.
Uh-huh.
To see, you know, if there was something up that way. And, I did go around the corner, around the garage. And
so did you head from looking at the, like, from the tree area across the garage here?
Once I turned the corner, I could see across.
Okay. But did you walk over to that other side?
I walked over to the other side.
And what did you see there?
When I made the right turn, I walked about another 6 feet or so and saw... Sorry.
It's okay. Do you need any water?
I saw Jeff.
You saw Jeff. Was he on the ground?
Yes.
Okay. So you saw him, and based on that, what did you do?
I called 911.
Did you have your cell phone with you?
Yes.
Okay. Were you standing there calling?
Yes.
Okay. And then at some point after you called 911, did police and other people arrive at the residence?
Yes. There was a patrol officer that came by.
Okay.
Within a very short time.
So the patrol guy comes first, and then were there a lot more people people that came to the house?
That followed, yes.
Were you, do you remember if you were interviewed by officers about what you saw?
Oh, yes. Okay.
And how about, did officers ask you about whether or not you had a video surveillance system on your house?
Yes, they did.
Did they ask for permission to download that from you?
Yes, they did.
And I assume you gave permission?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. I'll pass the witness.
So just briefly, thank you, Mr. Bailey. When you were interviewed, was it a formal interview? You went into the police department, a detective's office to give an interview?
No, they were in the house. I mean, the detectives were around all day.
Okay, so it was just when they arrived on the scene. Is that the interview that you were referring to?
Yes.
Do you know if they recorded during or not?
I believe so, yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Thank you very much. Your testimony here today, you may step down. And you're excused for a subpoena. Thank you very much for being here. You may call your next witness.
Okay, we'll call Deborah Ryan.
Raise your right hand.
You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God. You may be seated. Please state and spell your first and last name for the record.
Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, Ryan, R-Y-A-N.
Ms. Ryan, if you could, you know someone by the name of Jeff.
I do.
What was your relationship? How'd you know Jeff?
Neighbors, or he lives right across the street from me for 27 or 28 years.
All right. What was the street that you and Jeff lived on?
Bronze Circle.
Okay. Do you know a couple by the name of Roy and Holly Bailey?
I do.
And how do you know Roy and Holly?
I've been our neighbors since we've lived there for 33 years, right beside us.
Okay, so I want to show you what's been already administered to. Look at that monitor over there. Well, you can look at the monitor even just to your right. That
okay.
helps. Or you can look at the big one behind
you. No, this is better.
That better? Okay. Do you recognize what you're looking at there?
Yes.
Whose house is that?
Jeff's.
All right, so I just want to orient the jury for a minute. So Jeff lives there. Where do the Baileys live in relation to Jeff?
Straight across the street.
Okay, is that in a cul-de-sac?
We're in a cul-de-sac.
All right, and if we're at the Bailey house, right, if we're in the Bailey's house, do you live to the left of the Bailey's house or you live to the right?
To the right.
Okay, so you live right next door to the right, so you're also facing Jeff.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to turn your attention to September 2nd of 2022. On that day, do you notice something in relation to Jeff's home that catches your attention?
I did. The garage door was open.
Okay, why did that, of all things, catch your attention?
Because unless he's outside, was working on the lawn or something, it was always closed.
Okay, so
it's always closed.
So you look over, garage is open, but Jeff's not there.
I didn't notice him, no.
Okay, was his car there?
Yeah.
All right. So around what time do you remember roughly?
I'm going to say 11:30, 12.
Okay, sometime in the afternoon, right, or midday.
Yes.
So do you do anything at that point, or do you just kind of go about your business?
I didn't. I thought maybe he was working on the side of the house or something. I was getting lunch. I worked remote. Went back to work.
So you go back to work. A little later in the day, is that garage door still open?
It is.
Do you notice it at that point? Are you concerned at that point?
I was a little, because I wondered why it was still open. I left to go get groceries, so I walked over and knocked on the front door, rang the doorbell.
And so when you knocked on the door, did you notice anything? Did you notice like any signs of like someone breaking in or anything like that?
No, I did not.
So you knock on the door, get an answer?
No, I didn't.
Ring the doorbell, get an answer?
Didn't.
All right, so what do you do at that point?
Walked back and went and got groceries. I thought maybe he was showering. I don't know. I just walked back to the house.
All right, so you go about your day. At some point in the evening, do you kind of notice or check on the door or see what's going on?
We did. My husband came home. We went to get something to eat. It was still open. When we came back, it was still open. So I called Roy and Holly to see if they knew, you know, where he was at. It was unusual.
When you spoke with them, did they share a similar concern?
They did.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
So what do you decide to do with that?
We walked over. Roy pulled the cord in the garage so that the door would go down. At least we knew it was shut. We thought maybe, I don't know, he'd left on vacation or something and the door open.
Okay. Do you hear from Jeff that night at all?
No.
All right. So let's get to the following morning. Let's talk about September 3rd. That morning, what are you doing that day? Or what were you planning on doing?
We left for a ball game.
Okay.
We were at the ball game, and I'm not sure what time it was. I'll say 9:30 or so. I don't know. It was in the morning. We'd just gotten to the game, and I got a call from Holly. Very.
Tell me, what before we get into what she said, what is her demeanor like? When you get on the phone, how does she sound?
I can't even understand her. She's screaming, crying.
And what does she tell you?
That Jeff's dead. Okay. We had found him, so we left immediately and went home.
When you get home, when you pull up through Bronze Circle, what do you see?
There are already cops starting to be there, but it wasn't closed off yet, so we were able to go into our house.
Okay, so you were able to make it your home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch from your home? Do you come outside and just kind of watch as things unfold? What do you remember?
We're outside.
Okay.
Watching.
I know you're not a police officer,
mm-hmm.
but does everything seem kind of, you know, normal for the most part? Does anything look out of the ordinary as police or paramedics or people are responding to this?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Out of ordinary, no.
Nothing stood out?
No.
And you'd stay out there for a while and watch?
Yes.
Okay, and nothing during during the whole time you're out there, nothing catches your attention as being out of the ordinary?
No.
Okay. Did the police eventually speak to you at some point?
Came by, yeah.
Was it that day?
Yeah.
And where did you give your interview?
They were just right in front of the house. They were asking a couple questions, but they still were not really saying anything, obviously. They were trying to figure out what went on.
And you, in general, just relayed kind of some of the things you just shared with us today?
Yeah, that we didn't know.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. No further questions.
Thank you.
Just briefly. Thank you, Ms. Ryan. When you were interviewed, was it by a patrol officer, detectives?
It wasn't really an interview. They were just kind of in the neighborhood, you know, going around, trying to calm people, I think, more than anything. They weren't asking a lot of questions.
Okay, but you did come in contact with officers. Were they uniformed?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware if they recorded your conversation?
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Can you redirect?
Oh, no, you're on.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony here, Jillian. You may step down. You're excused.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. You may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Claire Browning.
Claire, can you please step up from the witness stand? Remain standing. Raise your right hand, please.
You do solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You may be seated. Please state and spell your first and last name for the record.
My name is Claire Browning. First name is C-L-A-I-R-E. Last name is B-R-O-W-N-I-N-G.
May I proceed?
You may. How are you employed? I'm a senior crime scene analyst with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
How long have you worked as a crime scene analyst?
A little over 9 years now.
Okay. And you said you're a senior crime scene analyst?
I am.
Can you explain to the members of the jury first what a crime scene analyst does?
The duties of a crime scene analyst are to respond to crime scenes once we've been requested. We document the scene through notography, a diagram if necessary, process for any latent prints, and collecting the evidence as it pertains to the crime.
And do you undergo training with Metro before you're allowed to work as a crime scene analyst?
Yes, we do.
And can you just give us an overview of that?
We go through a 12-week crime scene analyst academy, as well as a 12-week field training evaluation program, and we do continue an education class after that.
And you mentioned that you're a senior crime scene analyst. Is there some testing or proficiency requirement or I guess experience that allows you to have that designation?
Yeah.
And can you describe what that is for the jury?
We go through a testing process to promote to senior crime scene analyst. Once we are a senior, we are able to handle more complex calls to include homicide, officer-involved shootings, things of that nature. We also are responsible for training newer crime scene analysts and being an acting supervisor.
And you were working as a crime scene analyst on September the 3rd of 22?
Yes, I was.
Were you asked to respond to 7216 Bronze Circle?
That's correct.
What type of location is that?
It's a residential neighborhood.
Were you the only crime scene analyst that responded?
No, I was not. Senior crime scene analyst Christy Thomas also responded, and a crime scene analyst supervisor, Caitlin King, responded.
Now, when crime scene analysts arrive at a scene that's a possible homicide, I assume there's detectives and patrol officers there as well?
That's correct.
What kind of happens when you first get there?
When we first arrive on scene, we typically get a scene briefing, kind of the logistics of the scene, what we have, what items of evidence there potentially might be. We get that from a patrol officer, and then we kind of meet as a team to kind of determine how we're going to go about analyzing the scene.
And when you say you meet as a team, is that yourself and detectives?
That's correct.
Okay, and other crime scene analysts, I should say.
That's correct.
Do you all like kind of take an overview of the scene before people get down into the work of it?
Yes, we typically do a walkthrough of the scene to kind of determine what's going to be important for us.
Okay. Now you said that for homicide scenes generally, there's more than one crime scene analyst that responds. How are the duties divided amongst the analysts?
It can vary from scene to scene, but typically, and especially on the scene, we divided it so that one crime scene analyst was doing the report and the photos, which was myself, and another crime scene analyst typically does the evidence and the diagram, which was Christy Thomas.
But all of you are sort of familiar with the scene because you're working it together?
Yes, we work in tandem.
Okay. And you were the photographer?
I was.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness? And I don't know if Mr. Horvath and Mr. Delphi have the letter. Okay. Your Honor, just for the record, defense counsel has reviewed all these photos that I'm going to show her, the witness. Okay. I'm going to ask you just to look through these in groups. And this is states proposed 1 through 51. You can just let me know if you recognize those photographs.
More continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Tellez is on the way. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today, press subscribe now.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint, dents, dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Mako, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Mako's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Mako. Visit your local Mako today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Mako comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Mako has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Mako, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Mako. At Mako, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Mako is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started, visit your local Mako today, get the free estimate, and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Mako comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Mako has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Mako, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Mako. At Mako, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Mako is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started, visit your local Mako today, get the free estimate, and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint, dents, dings? Don't worry. Mako is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Mako, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Mako's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Mako. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint, dents, dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started, visit your local Maaco today, get the free estimate, and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving, it's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to the Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.